God's grace is one of those things that allows us to praise Him in every moment of our lives. This has been a different Christmas for us, very different. We met with the extended Goddard family yesterday online, was a privilege to do. And yet, as we all shared, it has been not only different, but difficult. And those difficulties impact us physically and emotionally and maybe most profoundly spiritually. And so we, as we look together back at what was 2020 and forward to what we hope, God willing, if Jesus doesn't return first, 2021, we do so acknowledging that we need a message from God which will help us to carry on. Some of you listening have shared with me that the pandemic is easy in comparison to the pain you're going through. You need a message of hope, a message that allows you to say, I will stand firm, I will not give up. COVID has been a hurricane that has blown through, and it is not over yet. And this has meant our frailty as humans, our lack of control over what is going on around us, so easy to be on display. It reminds me, I was in Proverbs 27 this morning, and a declaration, don't say what you will do tomorrow. The reminder in James, God is on the throne if it's His will, if it's something He declares from eternity past, then we can rest in Him. We have been humbled, and we are tired. Feels like we're treading water, and I wonder if it doesn't remind us a little of some of the greats in Scripture that, although I tremble to compare ourselves to, remind us that in the walk we have for God, discouragement is something that will be a part of our lives. Elijah, that great warrior, the man who was ordinary, who prayed and moved literally the hand of God, started rain, stopped rain, and was amazing in his battle against false prophets. Literally after that amazing spiritual victory, went to the desert, called out to God and said, please just kill me. I'm all alone, starving, thirsty, and missing the presence and power of my Savior. Or we might think of Jonah, although I suppose Jonah often not seen as one of the greatest missionaries in the Bible, but really he was a whole nation that were nasty, and he goes there and preaches the judgment of God, and they repent, and he wallows in self-pity, and in the heat of the day, God provides a plant, but when that plant withers and dies, he weeps and calls out to God and says, would you just kill me? And I suppose if Elijah and Jonah can struggle with discouragement and despair, then when we struggle with it, we too can see as they did the hope that can only be found in the Savior. It's our longing today to see clearly, to know in the journey that we're on that we can carry on with firmness and joy and conviction and passion for excellence because we serve a risen Savior. But we need to see clearly or we will be discouraged and we will lose heart and we will give up. Oh, giving up might look differently for different people. For some, just a despair. For others, suicidal. And we know that suicide is rapidly rising. For still others, just a giving up on their Christianity, their hope, their service of others. Submit to selfishness rather than Jesus. I love the story of Florence Chadwick ever since D.A. Carson told it to us. I think it was in class. On the morning of July 4th, 1952, she set out to do something that no woman ever before her had done. She already had been amazing in swimming. Maybe I like the story because Lori is such a great swimmer. I don't know. But She'd already been the first woman to cross the English Channel both ways swimming, and now she wanted to break a record, swim 21 miles from Catalina Island off the California coast to California, 21 miles. It was a freezing cold day, and the fog was heavy, so thick that she could hardly see the boats that were traveling with her, but she set out, someone who was an incredible swimmer. The swim was not easy. In fact, many times they chased away sharks with a rifle, but she swam 15 hours and then more, and finally, in desperation, she asked to be taken out of the water. Her coach and trainer said, "Don't give up, don't give up, we're close," and so she tried a little bit more, but in despair, she finally literally stopped swimming. She quit, she lost heart, she gave up. The saddest part of that story is she was literally within a mile of the coast. In fact, it was so close that had she been able to see, she would declare later, she would have not lost heart and she would have finished. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you don't, please go somewhere and find them, because I think it's so important that we have Bibles open. We're going to try to cover an entire chapter this morning. If you could open them with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is one of the great ministry passages in the Bible. In fact, many pastors turn to this, myself included, for theme verses in ministry, being jars of clay or eternally focused. And we literally want to cover the entire chapter this morning, although we'll move rapidly through some parts, and I'll just give you an outline you can go and read later. I was planning on preaching on heaven. That's one of the things we do here as a congregation every Christmas. We close out with some services on prayer, on stewardship, and on eternity, the return of Jesus. And I had that one prepared and then shared a devotional with our elders on this passage, and it just so hit my heart and the lives of our elders as well as they responded, that I felt that this would be a good message for our entire congregation and for those who are watching around the world. Because in a pandemic or in the pain that you're in, we want you to be able to practically be one who doesn't lose heart. I love how 2 Corinthians 4 opens up. Therefore, having this ministry, now therefore, you always ask the question when you're reading, what's it therefore? Therefore, having this ministry, what ministry? The ministry of the gospel, of seeing people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, even more of seeing who he is and savoring that and being transformed into his likeness. This ministry worth giving our lives to, we'll see that actually in the text we're studying, but the foundation, chapter 3, of serving Jesus, of knowing and experiencing his love, changes everything. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, by his amazing grace, we do not lose heart. If you underline in your Bible, underline that. And then we have an inclusio at the very end of this chapter, well, verse 16, we have the statement there again for us to see, really the theme of the entire chapter. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart. So we do not lose heart. Oh, we can be encouraged that in life many situations will be there that threaten to cause us to want to give up, to turn to something else, to find satisfaction in. And so this declaration, this command is something we not only need to listen to, but respond to and learn from what the Apostle Paul has to say to us. We know this congregation in Corinth was not overly healthy all of the time, but they responded well to his first letter. We think there might be a letter in between we don't know about, but now this letter to give them this encouragement to stay strong, to stand firm, to keep serving Jesus with all of their heart. We won't take the time to work through this, but in the first four or five verses, we find out what was so dangerous for them. False teaching. Or we might call this the demonic attack of doubting God's word and doubting the goodness of God. This is not unusual. In fact, this is something that we see in the temptation of the demonic realm to Eve, and certainly from then on, this temptation to change God's word, to adjust it, to doubt it, to have false doctrine invading so that we trust the world and our situation more than our Savior and the word. Not only that, there was this dependence on self. Oh, we see that come up in a number of different places, but we also hear this declaration that we're jars of clay. Self-dependence is one of the great tragedies in the Christian church, and we need to remind ourselves, and we'll get there in our text when we talk about how to not lose heart, that self-dependence is pride. And the Bible is very clear, apart from Him, we can do nothing. So there's this doubting of God's word, or really even destroying God's word, taking away from it, adding to it, false doctrine. There's this dependence on the self, on the flesh, and the attack of the demonic realm, the attack of the flesh, and then really devastating situations. We'll see a little bit more of that in Paul's life, but we can certainly declare that we've experienced those in ours. And in North America, it's even harder. In this time, they would have remembered what Jesus had gone through. They would know some of the apostles who had given their lives, been put to death by the sword, fed to wild animals, in really a situation where they were being persecuted and destroyed. They would have remembered Stephen, Paul personally, and then his own persecution. That this was real, and life sometimes in a broken world that doesn't believe in Jesus the way we do is incredibly destructive. I don't know what could be causing you to lose heart, but I know in this text, and again, we didn't take the time to work through it, but you can read the first few verses and see this so clearly there. I know we are tempted sometimes to doubt God's word, or to have a picture of God that's not biblical. I know sometimes we're tempted to depend on ourselves and lose sight of our need for prayer. And I know sometimes the situations that we find ourselves in are truly devastating. So what do we do in this war we've been called to fight, this battle with the flesh and the world and the demonic realm? When we feel discouraged, when we feel like giving up, and here we have this inclusio, this incredibly important text, I think, for all of us today, shouting out, don't give up. It's almost that Churchill cry, never give up, never give up, never give up. Yes, Paul, we hear you, but how? Well, I'm so thankful for this text, and we'll run through it, and again, we'll move fairly rapidly through this. It's a whole chapter, and so I encourage you to read it. I hope you've already read it, to read it afterwards, to spend a ton of time here, and just dig to not only perceive with your eyes what God has for us, but also experience in your heart the richness of this. My longing for you today is, even if you're not aware that you've been giving up, that you would not lose heart. You would give your life fully and completely to God, and then you would serve Him in whatever situation He's allowed in your life with all of your might. Okay, Pastor, okay, Paul, how do we do this? You've got it, this inclusio. How do we become a people who don't lose heart in the midst of a pandemic or pain or the brokenness that we're experiencing? Number one. Call it dependence, or if you're taking notes, you could just write active dependence. Notice verse 7. But we have this treasure, this is speaking of Jesus and the gospel. We've just seen it in light of the passage before, in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. This would be devastating if we were longing for self-esteem, the jars of clay here worthless. Worth pennies, easily broken, and if you break one, who cares, there's many more you can grab. And yet, there's this value because of what's inside. Clay pots are fragile, they are cheap, they are replaceable. And as a human, you're a clay pot, but don't despair. Because the power of God resides in you, and the power of God is yours for living a holy life and for serving Him with all of your might. We need to be those who acknowledge our dependence upon Him, who declare with great joy, apart from you, we can do nothing. Who live our lives in loyalty to Him and say, may you receive all of the glory. Our best moments of displaying the splendor of His grace is when we truly understand what grace is and delight in the richness of His love. The Apostle Paul will go on in 2 Corinthians 12 to display this even more powerfully, I think, than here, although certainly jars of clay, clay pots, helpful. But in 2 Corinthians 12, he's in this spiritual battle, and he's got this thorn in the flesh, the thorn in the flesh, the messenger from Satan. And he despairs, and he cries out to God, and he says, God, take this from me, and God has another plan that includes this pain, whatever it is, I think I cite some oppression and persecution, others' health issues, whatever it is, it's pressing down on him. He pleads with God to take it away, and God doesn't for one main reason: to keep him dependent, to display his weakness. So he shouts out, therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ rests on me. How do you not lose heart? You start off by realizing that you can't do it on your own. You are but a clay pot, and yet inside of you resides the living Christ. This is so amazing, so overwhelming. The God of the Old Testament, the God of Isaiah 40, who shepherds tenderly and yet is sovereign over the nations, is your God. This God, 8 to 12, goes on to say, can be one who, when you're afflicted in every way, you're not crushed, you're perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Oh, brother, oh, sister, don't lose heart. Depend on God. Cry out to Him. See the treasure of the richness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejoice and carry on in strength. Don't lose heart. Depend. Don't lose heart. I call this one devotion. Full devotion to what God is doing, really full devotion to God. We see this all over verses 1 to 15. This is one of the most powerful ministry passages in the entire Bible. But look at verse 10. We just read it. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. This is full and absolute devotion to the ministry that God had called him to accomplish. Willing to die for the glory of God. Willing to live with every breath he takes to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. This is fully devoted, all in. This is to live as Christ, to die as gain. Again, in this passage, for the sake of time, I'll just fly through this. He's devoted to God's word, verses 1 and 2. He's devoted to sharing God's gospel, to evangelism, verses 5 and 6. He's devoted to God's glory, really all over this passage, but verse 15, so powerfully. He's devoted to God's people, the local church. He's devoted to God's reward, verses 16 to 18. And if we were working our way slowly through this, each one of these would deserve an entire sermon. But for today, if you want to be one who doesn't lose heart, not only do you need to be dependent on him, filled with prayer, but also you need to be a man or a woman on a mission, saying, I am someone, 1 Corinthians 6, bought with a price. Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This full devotion is normal Christianity. Oh, we need to grow into it. Oh, we need to recommit our lives to be, Romans 12, 1 and 2, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. But if we want to be those who don't lose heart, we need to see not only the treasure that is in us, but also the call on God to overflow that treasure in service of others. Service of others by sharing the gospel. Service of others by living for his glory. Oh, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, or I like Dan Spader's, the Everyday Commission. See, God has placed you where you're at, the pain you're going through, so that you can portray the richness of the person of Jesus and his message. Literally, 2 Corinthians 5 will say, you're his ambassador, founded on this. As if God was making his appeal through you. Oh, brother, oh, sister, see yourself through the eyes of God, not the eyes of the flesh, and step forward and say, oh, God, who is it you want me to share with today? Who is it you want me to encourage today? What is the mission you've called me to accomplish? Because my life is yours. And by the way, when you are devoted like this, you realize it costs. In fact, it costs everything. Luke 9:23, if anyone would follow me, this is just a generic statement. If anyone would follow me, he must deny himself daily, take up his cross, willing to suffer and die, and follow me, obey Jesus, do his work. This is relational. We'll get into this a little bit more in a minute, but it's relational. It's not a religion that demands. It's a Savior that offers. In fact, if we go back to how this text opens up, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Therefore, knowing what he has called me to do, I'll carry on. Because the ministry is so great of encouragement and blessing and gospel sharing. The reason we lose heart is because we don't depend on God in prayer. The reason we lose heart is because we don't see how great the call he has placed on our lives to be a part of his plan. We don't devote ourselves fully to him. We're half-hearted. It's amazing. He's chosen us to represent him. You know, I used to struggle with the statement that you are the hands and feet of Jesus, but I actually think it's true. In fact, he would say, you're his body. He's the head. He's called you to this full devotion life. So don't lose heart. It won't be easy, but you'll change eternity. And when the going gets tough, you'll depend more and stay strong in your devotion. Don't lose heart, dependence. Don't lose heart, devotion. Don't lose heart. This is from verse 16. Go deeper with him. I love verse 16. Again, we could slow down and spend literally weeks or months in this text. Here's verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Some say, again, this is health issues. I think more the oppression of living in a broken world. Not only pandemics, but the pain of loving those who aren't always perfect. The health issues. The struggling for the good of those you love. There's so much that is here. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. This is that Daniel, not only devoted, but now saying, I'm going to go deeper with God every day. And the supply to not lose heart comes from Jesus, our walk with him that is inside and intimate. See, if you've slipped into religion and you're just serving Jesus out of your own strength, then you will very quickly lose heart and get angry or be anxious or give up altogether. Live a life of legalism or apathy. This text so richly says that if we're strengthened in our inner being, we're going deeper and day by day. I said the Daniel thing, day by day, we're saying, God, I need you more. I want to know you more. The Philippians 3:10, I want to make this my passion and the fullness of my first love. I know for me, during this pandemic, I was struggling. New lockdowns. I felt the weight of criticism. Confusion among other pastors calling for counsel, calling for me to lead in ways I didn't feel were God's. I felt overwhelmed and discouraged. I felt like giving up. I wanted to stay on the couch and play Risk on my iPad and watch football on my TV and put my head under the covers if anything else came. You see, this is a day-by-day thing. It's not that you follow the life of Elijah and you say, okay, Elijah, you're doing great. It's every day, not yesterday, but day by day being renewed inside. So for me, and I was interacting with some of our other elders that felt this way, some in the congregation, what a reminder to go deeper daily in intimacy with God. Stay close. Stay closer. Make this relationship of growth more important than anything else. I read a great book this year. I'm going to share my top three books with you this coming week, God willing, and a book by John Piper called When I Don't Desire God, and he goes into what to do if your heart just isn't there, if you feel like giving up, if you're not delighting in God as you should. And it's such a basic book. But in essence, he says, start with the gospel, start relationship, deepen that relationship through his word and prayer, and spend time in fellowship with other believers. Oh, so basic, and yet in a pandemic, so difficult. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Depend on God fully. Devote your life to him absolutely. Deepen your walk with him and make sure you're overflowing this intimacy with him in a John 15 kind of way. And fourthly and lastly, I just call this destination. Listen to verses 16 to 18. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction, we're going to see in a moment what he calls light and momentary, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You've probably heard he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Well, biblically, it's the opposite. The more we can Colossians 3 things, and the more we can 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18 things, the more earthly good we'll be, because we won't lose heart. We'll carry on. We'll stand firm. See, no matter how difficult the temporary is, there's something that is coming that you've devoted your life to, that you've deepened your intimacy with Jesus for, that you're accomplishing as his work of art created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. You're working towards something that is amazing. We need hope. You know, maybe you felt this pandemic is going on way too long. That's certainly how I feel. And yet in the context of eternity, it will be but a blip that we barely remember. We'll see it differently. Now you might say, light and momentary, Pastor, if you knew my problems, you wouldn't have the audacity of defining them that way. So let me read you Paul's. 2 Corinthians 11. He's in a fight with people who are attacking him and saying he's not an authentic follower of God. Sad, sometimes the deepest attacks on the apostles were from those who named the name of Jesus. Here's his words. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. By the way, 40 less one, why? Because they said 40 would kill you or could kill you. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was drifted at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. If you're a pastor or an elder, you'll understand this. This longing for people to be okay and to follow Jesus and to be spiritually healthy and to be fully devoted to Jesus, and knowing in a pandemic this is so difficult, I think for me what has weighed most heavy on my heart. And yet, these are the things that Paul is describing as light and momentary. See, he's not being dishonest. He's not ignoring his problems. He's putting them in the context of his destination. See, we won't lose heart if we remember how awesome heaven is, an eternal weight of glory. One of the great essays of C.S. Lewis, The Weight of Glory, gave a message on it. And actually, Piper says that he built almost his entire life on Jonathan Edwards and that, and then some of other readings of C.S. Lewis. This weight of glory, it just overwhelms us. We're living, Philippians 1, if you'll remember, he says to live as Christ, to die is gain. And then he says, better to depart, better to go to heaven than to keep on living. Why? Well, heaven is amazing. Almost incomprehensible. In fact, no, I would argue, 2 Corinthians 12 would say, incomprehensible for us. And yet the best part of heaven by far is that the person of Jesus will be there. Make a comparison. If you're discouraged, if you feel like giving up, if you're losing heart, and say, God has called me to impact eternity. God has called me in my weakness as a jar of clay to depend on him, to devote my life entirely to his work, to his ministry, his call on my life. God has called me and gifted me to make a difference in other people's lives. And this, if we get, is even overwhelmed by the reality that he loves me. He cares about me personally, and so I go deeper and I have that relationship that's driving and defining me. This is where Jesus went when he was preparing his disciples. And he uses almost the same words as the Apostle Paul when he says in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't give up. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is the intimacy. Go deeper. Renew this relationship. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you there. It's a person. It's a place. Oh, brother, oh, sister, 2020 has been difficult. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. But spend some time in the presence of God and 2 Corinthians 4. When you're tempted to doubt scriptures or depend on yourself or you're in devastating situations, don't lose heart, but depend. Don't lose heart, but open your hands and say, Lord Jesus, I am bought with a price. I am all yours. I will be a living sacrifice no matter what the cost. Don't lose heart, but go deeper in intimacy with Jesus and build that devotional life up so that your inner self is being renewed day by day by day by day. And never forget that your light and momentary troubles are preparing for you a glorious joy that far outweighs them all. Florence Chadwick set out in the fog on July 4th, 1952 to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast, and she failed miserably because she couldn't see. Oh, she went 15 miles, did better than most of you would have done, certainly better than I would have done. But because the fog was so thick and the plan, she couldn't see the hope of ending, she lost heart and gave up. 2 months later, Florence Chadwick walked off the same beach into the same channel and swam the same distance, except she finished. She set a new speed record because she could see. So my hope for you in my own heart is in the midst of pain and pandemics, we will see. We'll see God's word and what it displays, and we'll acknowledge our brokenness and depend on his strength. That's the first implication. Just to say almost out loud, go to your mirror if this helps you. It helps me sometimes. And just say, God, I am a jar of clay. I am meaningless without you. I have nothing to offer other than what you do in me and through me. And then I offer the treasure that is far beyond anything else. Become enamored with the treasure. Boast in your weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on you. Second implication, accept your mission and delight in his workmanship. I mean, these are obvious implications, but I just want to make them so that they sing in your heart. Listen, did you know that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have believed in the gospel, acknowledged your sin, and the Savior's work on the cross for you, and you've said, I believe in you, I repent, I want to follow you, if you've done that, then not only are you forgiven and reconciled to him, the relationship is healed, not only that, but he's called you to a radical devotion that will accomplish his work in this world. There are people that God wants to love through you. Wow, it's breathtaking. There are people that God wants to change their eternity through you. This is your mission. If you're willing to accept it, and if you're his, you will. Acknowledge your brokenness, depend on his strength, accept your mission, delight in his workmanship. Always remember where you're going. Never forget. Oh, brother, oh, sister, don't lose sight of eternity. Because in comparison to what you're going through, really, we would argue, there is no comparison. Keep your eyes in focus. Remember where you're going. And lastly, prioritize your relationship with him, or if you want an A, all in relationally. Be all in relationally. I think one of the reasons why the Canadian church is struggling through this and not sure what to do and not sure where to turn, and there seems to be so much discouragement and so much despair, is because we've lost sight of our God. So don't lose heart. This text shouts it out twice. Don't lose heart. Depend. Devote. Deepen. and keep your destiny in mind. Let's pray. Father, we come weak and in need of you, and we want to declare that because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. Oh God, would you awaken in us a new understanding of what it means to know you, to experience the gospel so richly that we never give up. Oh God, open the eyes of our hearts. We can't do it alone. We are dependent upon you, and we long to be your children who can face uncertain days because, Lord Jesus, you live. So would you please today, here in this place among the very few that are here, and wherever this message reaches out, help us to be a people who carry on, who pursue excellence and the glory due your name, because we know you, because we've experienced the power of your Spirit, the richness of your word, so that we are a church and a people and all by extension who hear that belong to you, become those who never give up. Oh, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.